Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter 8, which is lesson number 8 in your book. And it's the culture of the kingdom, kingdom principles, part number 2. As far as the objectives are, upon completion of this course, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify contrasts of structure between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. The key verse today is found in James, the 2nd chapter, the 5th verse, which says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" Introduction. In this chapter, you will learn more about the culture of the kingdom of God as you continue your study of kingdom principles. You will learn specific principles of the spiritual kingdom, which rest on the general principles discussed in chapter 7. Specific contrasts, culture of the kingdom. So now let us study about specific principles of the kingdom, which rest on the general principles already discussed. Many of these contrasts are found in Matthew 5, 7 and Luke 6. So read these chapters before you continue with your study. These passages are part of the teachings of Jesus, which have come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount. Because he first taught it on a mountainside in Israel, this sermon contains many specific kingdom principles. The sermon does not cover every life situation, but the principles are representative. They establish a pattern for ethics and behavior applicable in all situations. The first part of the sermon is found in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and has come to be known as the Beatitudes. And it deals with the basic kingdom attitudes which are blessed by God. Those who are blessed do not hold the conventional values of society. And the word blessed used in this passage means to be approved by God. There's a difference between being blessed and being happy. Being blessed depends on God and is unaffected by circumstances, and being happy depends on circumstances of life. So here are some specific contrasts in the culture of the kingdom of God. First off, the kingdom belongs to those who are poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The world honors those with material wealth, but God chooses the poor of the world and makes them rich in faith. James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" And also in Luke 6:20 it says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and he said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." The poor are rich, and the rich are poor. The world emphasizes the spirit of self-reliance and self-expression and self-improvement, but God approves those who are poor in spirit, who realize that they have no ability to save themselves, to satisfy their spiritual needs, or to solve their own problems. Luke 6:24 says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation." Sorrow brings joy. There are two kinds of sorrow. The sorrow of the world is a sorrow resulting from sin. It's a sorrow which comes through suffering and the penalties of sin, but this sorrow does not result in the change of lifestyle. Godly sorrow is sorrow for sin. Godly sorrow results in repentance. For according to 1 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." God approves of such sorrow. He says those who experience it will receive comfort. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," according to Matthew 5:4. And Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And John 16:20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." That's John 16:20. So in the kingdom, there are those who mourn that are comforted, and sorrow brings joy. Joy is turned to sorrow for those in the kingdom of the world. In Luke 6:25, it says, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." The meek are conquerors. Meekness is not a weakness or passiveness. To be meek means to be gentle in nature, not easily provoked, and to have a mild temperament. It is the opposite of the worldly principles which advise to assert yourself, to stand up for your rights. Meekness is not a natural quality of fleshly man. It is one of the spiritual fruits of the kingdom. We find in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith." Also, we have meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So again, that's Galatians 5:22-23. So each of these qualities should be characteristic of kingdom residents. They are spiritual fruit, which are the result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. These are discussed in detail in another Harvest Time International Institute course, which is entitled The Ministry of the Holy Spirit. The world does not consider meek people as conquerors, but God promises that the meek shall inherit the earth. And we find that in Matthew 5:5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The hungry are filled. Men hunger after many things in the kingdoms of the world. They hunger after power, wealth, success, and happiness, and kingdom residents should not be hungry for such material things. They should seek righteousness, which is the basic principle of the kingdom. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." Some believers go from religious meeting to meeting seeking blessings from God. They're never satisfied spiritually. In this kingdom principle, Jesus reveals that only those who hunger for righteousness will be spiritually filled. So when you're hungry in the natural world, you do not sit down and passively wait for food. You actually take action to satisfy your hunger by obtaining food and preparing a meal. In the spiritual world, you cannot sit and passively wait for God to satisfy your spiritual hunger. You must actively seek spiritual food by communicating with God in prayer and studying His written word. The hungry are filled in the kingdom of God, and those in the kingdom of the world are left hungry. In Luke 6:25, it says, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. The merciful obtain mercy. Worldly principles warn that if you are too merciful with others, they will abuse you. If you show too much kindness, they will take advantage of you. Kingdom principles teach the opposite. If you show mercy, you will obtain mercy instead of abuse. In Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Inward rather than outward stressed. The religious leaders of Jesus' day stressed the outward keeping of the law and tradition rather than inward heart attitudes. They observed the Sabbath strictly. They fasted regularly, prayed openly, and gave alms to the poor. But Jesus stressed that the inward attitudes of the heart rather than the outward sacrifices, because he said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It is not those with outward signs of religion that will see God. It is those who are pure in heart. Peace instead of revolution. Revolution is the method of change in the kingdoms of this world. Peacemakers are those who bring change to the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Peace is not running away from problems or the absence of war and strife. The peace which Jesus spoke of is different from worldly peace. In John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So in the peace of the world, there's fear. Will they keep the peace treaty? Will they abide by their promises? In God's peace, there is no fear. He has promised to keep believers in perfect peace. They can have the peace of God even while living in chaotic circumstances in the kingdoms of this world. The persecuted are rewarded. This kingdom principle pronounces blessing on those who suffer for specific reason, for righteousness' sake. Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." And that's Luke 6:22-23. In Luke 6:26, it says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So, it is not a general blessing on all who suffer, because some people suffer, you know, for their own faults. But according to 1 Peter 2:20, it says, "For what glory is it if when we are buffeted for your faults, that ye shall take it patiently? But when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, because this is acceptable with God." Sin is also sometimes behind suffering. And the scripture says, "Is any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that was in James 5:14-16. The least are greatest. In the world, greatness is exalted. People are considered great if they are successful or famous and have great wealth or power. But in the kingdom of God, those who are great live to teach kingdom principles. They may be considered least in the kingdoms of the world, but they are greatest in the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The humble are exalted. In Luke 14:11, it says, "For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In Matthew 23:12, it says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Servants and leaders. The kingdoms of the world hold leaders in high esteem. They are honored and exalted. They are waited upon by servants and considered in social class far above all others. In the kingdom of God, to lead, you must become a servant. But Jesus called unto him, and he said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's Matthew 20:25-28. "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is a chief, as he that doth serve." That's Luke 22:26. In Mark 10:43-44, it says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great amongst you shall be your minister, and whosoever you shall be the chiefest shall be servant of all." In Matthew 23:11, it says, "But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant." The last are first. Those who are first in the kingdom of this world are last in God's kingdom. In Matthew 19:30, it says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." In Matthew 20:16, it says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last." And Luke 13:30, it says, "And behold, there are the last which shall be first, and there are the first which shall be last." small becomes great. Jesus illustrated this principle by the natural examples of a mustard seed, leaven, and the widow's mite. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And that's found in Matthew 13, 31 through 33, and also Mark 4, chapters 30 through 31, or verses 30 through 32, sorry. And he looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts in treasury, and he also saw a poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, as a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. That's Luke 21, 1 through 4. That which is highly esteemed is lowly valued. Luke 16, 15 says, And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Adults become as children. In the kingdom of God, adults become as children. This means that they must accept the gospel of the kingdom in the same way as a child, in simple faith. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child, and said unto them, and set them in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew 18, 1 through 4. But Jesus called unto him, and he said, Suffer not little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And then finally, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein. That's Luke 18, 16 through 17. Lose your life to save it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's John 12, 24. Then we find that For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. That's Mark 8:35. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And that's found in Matthew 10:39. So you lose your life by denying the worldly pleasures and standards in order to follow the King. In Matthew 16, 24 through 25, it says, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. Hate life instead of loving it. John 12, 25 says, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it in unto life eternal. Give to receive. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's Luke 6, 38. The impossible is possible. Luke 18:27 says, And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In Matthew 19:26 it says, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And in Mark 10:27 it says, And Jesus looking upon them saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Those without sight see, and those with sight are blind. In John 9:39 it says, And Jesus said, For judgment I am come unto this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be blind. So Jesus came to give spiritual vision to those lost in spiritual blindness. Those who thought they had spiritual vision through religious tradition, they were actually blind. Take a yoke and burden to rest. A yoke is a piece of equipment used to pair up two animals to pull a plow. It speaks of labor. A burden is something that is carried. It is a weight, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So you find that true rest by being yoked together with Jesus to carry his burden. His burden is that the gospel of the kingdom be extended to the nations of the world. Heavenly rather than earthly treasures are emphasized. In Matthew 6:19-21, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there shall be your heart also. Matthew 6:19-21. Jesus compared those who emphasize earthly treasures as fools. In Luke 12:21, it says, So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Heavenly rather than earthly glory is sought. In John 7:18, it says, He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And in John 5:44, it says, How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor which cometh from God only? And in John 8:54, it says, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that dishonoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Division instead of peace results. Jesus is peace, and when he came to the world in fleshly form, peace was on the earth. But Jesus brought division instead of peace to the kingdoms of the world. Families, cities, and kingdoms were divided because of him. Some believed and accepted him as king, and they became residents of the kingdom through spiritual rebirth. Others did not accept Jesus as king, and they did not become part of the kingdom, and this resulted in division. In Luke 12:51-53, it says, Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, and I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And in Matthew 10:38, it says, A man's foe shall be they of his own household. That covered is revealed. In Matthew 10:26-27, it says, There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye light, that ye may hear in the ear, and preach ye upon the housetops. The kingdom is extended to sinners instead of righteous. Matthew 9:13 says, For I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Spiritual rather than natural emphasized. In Romans 14:17 it says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So we also have some additional contrasts. So you can use the chart in your book to see some additional contrast. So you have the two paths and two gates that are in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, the two prophets, Matthew 7, 15, two trees, Matthew 17 through 20, and also it's found in Luke 6, 43 through 44. The two claims are found in Matthew 21 through 23, and two houses are found in Matthew 24 through 27, and also in Luke 6, 46 through 49. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and please do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.